Hello and welcome to Illinois Realtors Podcast. I'm John Broadbooks, Vice President for Communications at Illinois Realtors. And today we're going to do a program just for all the procrastinators out there. As you may be aware, we are now in May. And that means if you're a managing broker, the deadline to renew your license was April 30th. Since we're in May, that could be a problem if you didn't renew. But if you miss this important deadline, Illinois Realtors is here to help you. And joining me today is Young Brockhaus, Vice President for Professional Development at Illinois Realtors. And I might add, somebody who knows the guidelines quite well since he used to work at the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. Young is here to talk about the deadline and what you can do right now if you missed it. Welcome, Young.
Thanks, John.
So, as I mentioned, the deadline for managing brokers to renew their licenses was April 30th. So, what happens if you miss the deadline? Do you have to stop selling real estate?
Technically, you would be unlicensed, and unlicensed practice carries the risk of a $25,000 fine and possibly taking your license away should the department get a complaint and follow up on that and go after you in that regard. But not all is lost. There are options for you out there to renew the license. Easiest way is if you've already taken your CE, there is the online renewal application is still out there. It'll be out there for about another month during the month of May. Go online. The only difference between renewing late online now and doing it on time is an extra $50 penalty, but that's nothing compared to what could be in store should you continue to practice without having your license active.
Wow, $25,000. I mean, that's a pretty hefty fine.
Yes, up to any violation of the act up to $25,000 is the possible fine. Obviously, if you take care of things right away and get your license in good order, you're probably going to be safe. But you know, don't let these things continue on to where somebody files a complaint and you have to go through that process, because not only could you be in store for a fine up to $25,000, but, you know, there's probably attorney's fees and travel and days away from the office. So it can be quite a hassle to get those things back in order.
Okay, so for those of who are listening who missed the deadline and maybe they're in the middle of managing a transaction, what does that mean for them?
Technically, you are unlicensed. You should not be practicing real estate. If you are in the middle of a transaction, work with somebody in your office. If you are not the managing broker of your office, you're a managing broker, contact your managing broker, let them know of this situation. Get your requirements in right away. If you haven't taken your education, make sure you do that. There are online options. Illinois Realtors, we have our own school. Contact one of call our education hotline. They will walk you through the process. One of the difficult parts, if you are renewing late, is that the CE requirement, there's 24 hours. You have your normal 12 hours of core and elective, and then you have a 12-hour broker management CE. The broker management CE has to be an interactive course, meaning there's some back and forth between yourself and the instructor. Those are scheduled. There are not many of those scheduled outside of the regular renewal period. So that can be a little bit difficult and, you know, may push you back. If there's none around or you can't get into one, you know, you might have to wait another month before you can meet your requirements to renew your license. And that's a month where you should not be practicing.
Walk me through the process of what you need to do if you're a managing broker and you miss the deadline. What are some of the first things that you need to do?
First thing I would do is, one, check your CE history. Make sure you've met the requirements. Some, you know, people take it over extended period of time. Some members wait until the last minute. It's fine as long as you have that done. So if you've got your CE done, immediately go online, go to the department's website, click on the renewal license. You'll be able to log in with your license number. They send out a PIN that you can use. If you don't have the PIN, you can get in with your license number, social security number, or your license number and date of birth. Go through the process. If you go online and you do it in the month of May, you know, you should have your license in a day or two, and it may even be the next day that you'll look online and you'll see that your license is active. And as soon as your license is active, everything's good. If you haven't taken your CE, make sure you get in, get that done as soon as possible. If you haven't got your CE, you know, contact one of our education specialists. We'll walk you through the process. You can sign up, take it online, and then you can work with us. We'll try and find a interactive CE, the broker management CE. We'll try and find a time to get you in there. And then renew online If you can get that done in May, renew online. Like I said, your license will be active within a few days. However, if you haven't met your CE requirements, or you know you're in the June or July when you realize your license hasn't been renewed, you're going to have to file a paper renewal application. And paper renewal application can take, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. So you really want to get everything, get all your requirements met, get that application in as soon as possible, because once again, 4 to 6 weeks is more time that you should not be practicing.
So during that 4 to 6 week time frame, you would technically not be able to practice?
Correct. If you were to continue to practice, you would be in violation of the act.
Even if you had the documentation and said, hey, I've already fulfilled
Correct. However, it's an excellent point. If you have your documentation that you sent everything in before the expiration of your license and you're waiting that 4 to 6 weeks, as long as you've met the requirements, your education, and filled out the application correctly, you can practice while they are processing that paper renewal application.
Do you have a sense, Young, how many people missed the deadline, ended up filing late?
So, yes, I could ballpark that. Generally, in any license renewal expiration date, about 20%, sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it gets up closer to 30%, licensees will not have renewed at the deadline. Now, that can be for a variety of factors. It could be because they're not practicing real estate anymore. It could be that they moved out of state and, you know, they're practicing in another state, so they let their license go. But I would say there are hundreds of people, licensees, members of ours, who, for one reason or another, do not renew timely and realize it after the fact. The department will probably process in May, June, July, August. I mean, there will be 100 or 200 late renewals filed for managing broker, and probably double that when it's the broker renewal in even years.
So, Young, one question I have, I mean, record keeping is a huge part of this process, whether it's on the state end with their records, but really there's some responsibility, I would think, on the part of the managing broker to keep records. What happens if you feel like you've taken all the CE, you've met all the requirements, but it's not reflected at IDFPR?
The record keeping, obviously very important. Your CE completion, when you complete a course, your education provider will submit that to the department. It's an electronic process. It gets uploaded to their system. But there are certain times where something happens part of that process. It doesn't get applied to your account correctly. So I had always told managing brokers that your best record of the education you have taken is a hard copy. Keep it in a file. You get done with a course, you'll get a completion certificate from the education provider. Keep it, make sure that it's in the correct time frame, and the hours add up. You know, 6 hours of core for this most recent renewal, 6 hours of elective, and your 12-hour BMCE. Because in the event that you get audited, if their records don't reflect what you've taken, you're going to need to show that information to the department to clear up that audit and to make sure that you don't move further into a disciplinary type situation for not complying with CE requirements.
So what happens to all the brokers who are working under a managing broker if suddenly a managing broker misses a deadline and then cannot practice real estate?
Right. Exactly, that there is a cascade effect there. If your managing broker isn't renewed, you know, the office, everybody who works for that office, if there are branch offices underneath the main office, you can see where that's a large problem for the whole office. So, you know, renewing on time, making sure you've met the requirements. And one of the other things, renewing on time, make sure you get your renewed license printed out, make sure everything's correct on there. There are fpr.notice@illinois.gov is the email address that will send out your renewal notice. It will also send out and say your renewal is processed. You know, click the following link to print out your license. Make sure you have that added to your contacts so that you're not missing any important emails from the department.
Now, Illinois Realtors has a staff at its licensing and training center, which can help association members. What kind of services can they provide to help out?
So it runs anything education, they'll be able to help you out. If you wanted to upgrade your license, if you're a broker, you want to be a managing broker, if you've got somebody, you're the managing broker of an office and you're hiring a new licensee, we have pre-license education, post-license education. And then any CE that's required. You can call, you can do an online chat, send an email, education@illinoisrealtors.org. They'll work with you, get you signed up for your education. And if at some point you run into a CE audit issue with the department, they'll work with you there, make sure that you get the CE that you need if you're short, or if the records are here and we need to provide that to the department, we will do that as well.
So we've been chatting with Young Brockhouse, who's Vice President for Professional Development at Illinois Realtors. And in addition to being a really good guy and according to him, a fantastic golfer, right?
Right.
Yeah. He and his department are focused on helping Illinois Realtors get the training and guidance they need. So Young, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Illinois Realtors is truly invested in helping you advance your career. The association's Licensing and Training Center offers a variety of continuing education, including options which allow you to get your training without ever leaving your home in some cases. Contact one of our helpful representatives to learn more. Call 217-529-2600 today or find out more at illinoisrealtors.org. Welcome back to Illinois Realtors Podcast. I'm John Broadbooks, Vice President for Illinois Realtors. In just a few weeks, many Illinois Realtors will be heading to Washington, D.C. to take part in the National Association of Realtors legislative meetings. We call it mid-year. Among this group are some 20 people who spend time talking with members of Congress, both representatives and senators. And of course, I'm referring to Illinois Realtors' federal political coordinators, more commonly known as FPCs. Today, I'm joined by two longtime FPCs who play a huge role in realtor advocacy for the association. With me are Nakia Pipion McGriff, a broker with Dreamtown Realty in Chicago, and Max Mitchell, a broker with Remax Realty Associates in Champaign. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Both of you have served as FPCs for a number of years. So, Max, let's start with the basics. Just what is an FPC and what do they do?
No, John, an FPC is the realtor, the National Association, the State Association, and local association voice to the member of Congress. So, first of all, you do have to have a relationship with that individual. My congressman is Congressman Rodney Davis from the 13th Congressional District. He's located in Taylorville, Illinois, and I'm located in Champaign. So geographically, we're a little bit challenged, but at the same time, he does represent our area, and he has an office right across the street from my office. But we do any issues that arise that affect real estate, NAR sends out a call to action just the same as the state does. And our responsibility is to be first up and talk to our congressman, either by call to action emails, but or sometimes they do ask you to pick up the telephone and give them a call. The other obligation that you have is that responsibility for NAR is that you have to make four contacts over the year. So that's quarterly, that's a bare minimum, but also they like to hear from you. There's a reporting process that FPCs provide information so that the lobbyists in Washington can review any meetings that you have had or check presentations so that they have an opportunity to refer to it.
Nakia, I'm curious, how did you get interested in becoming an FPC?
Well, John, I actually started researching legislative items that impacted the transaction right around the downturn. So about 2008, I was experiencing a lot of sellers who were underwater, who was just struggling, didn't know what direction to do. Should they keep their home? Should they do loan modifications? And so one of my initial issues that we discussed with not only Congressman Bobby Rush, but with other congressional leaders was the Mortgage Debt Forgiveness Act. So I saw that as a way to really champion the homeowners who were really hard hit with the downturn, being that they were, really underwater and couldn't afford to keep the property, whether it was people that had medical conditions that, in turn meant they couldn't work as much and, again, had financial considerations that really impacted their ability to keep the home. So that was one of the first bills that I was really passionate about, and I kind of just took off from there.
So having realtors from a congressional district who are actually in the district, talk to a representative or a senator is really important. Why is that, Max?
Well, first of all, you do need to be knowledgeable about the issues. And one of the things right now is being able to have the flood insurance continue on into the future, because that does adversely affect real estate transactions when the flood issue is, the flood insurance is time up. So we're trying to get a long-term extension. But it's just that a connection with the congressman, always reminding them that if they have questions about any issues that might affect the real estate, that they can look at us as being an expert in our own local locale, and which is also good because National Association of Realtors does provide us with good, sound information.
Now, I know both of you have been to D.C. many times for mid-year and done the round of visits. But I'm curious, Nikki, if you could sort of share, what is the mid-year week like for an FPC?
Well, mid-year is probably the most hectic week of our of our year. I typically have anywhere from 6 to 8 meetings a day, and those could be not only with my legislative and his team, but also assisting other FPCs in meeting with their congressional leaders. But we also have to do preparation. And so we meet as a group at least once or twice a day with different FPCs. You also get to share stories and things like that. But you're looking at a 12 to 14 hour day typically for the week that I'm there in D.C.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience, because I usually sit in on a number of these. I mean, it is, you are hustling from one end of Capitol Hill sometimes to the other, you know, bouncing back and forth. It is not an easy experience, but it is a critically important experience. My understanding is that every FPC also is responsible for coming up with a team. Max, can you talk a little bit about that?
John, the team is made up of members that are located in the different locales. I know that in the Chicagoland area, the congressional district can be pretty compact. But again, our district covers from the state line down by the St. Louis area all the way through Champaign and Bloomington. So we do have also some diverse interests. So it's good to have members throughout the state, in my case, that are on the team. And basically, it's again, it builds camaraderie with the congressman. And it also gives him a go-to person when there's issues that he needs to find out more information about. Because not all the time do members of Congress think the way that a realtor might think.
I've been in some of these meetings, and it's really clear that the FPCs do have sort of a really good bond with the person that they're assigned to. Nikia, how important is this relationship?
Well, I think the entire purpose of the FPC program is to build that relationship so that if there are issues that come across their desk, that we've already built an existing relationship where we can have those conversations. And sometimes they're tough conversations. And I think it's much easier to have those difficult conversations when our FPCs have already spent time building a personal relationship, and not only just a one way, but certainly reaching out to our legislators to say, hey, how can we support you in district as well? So it's not always saying, hey, can you do this for us? Many times our FPC teams are you know, volunteering at different events. We're present at many of their in-district events. And we're, again, trying to build sort of that two-way relationship.
So Illinois Realtors has a long history of engaging with our federal representatives. And in fact, over the course of the past several years, we've done a lot of in-district meetings as well with congressional representatives. Nikia, why is it important to do that? I mean, it can't just be a once-a-year type thing.
No, John, you're absolutely correct. It has to be an ongoing contact, if you will. Again, most important, I think, for FPCs and the contact teams are to show the support in district, to show our legislators that, again, we're not here just once a year to ask for some things or thank you for supporting bills, but to say, hey, this is an ongoing relationship. We want to be there. We want to bring other realtor members to your events to show that, hey, your community of realtors that are involved cares about what's happening and that we're involved and engaged. So that, again, once you know, if we ever have to have difficult conversations about legislative items, that it's a much easier conversation because the two parties trust each other.
Well, thank you, Nakia and Max. They'll both be in Washington, D.C. May 13th through 18th, running from one side of Capitol Hill to another. And we'll no doubt have a few updates from them on the road. Nakia and Max are Illinois realtors making a difference for our industry. And to learn more about the FPCs, you can go to our website, illinoisrealtors.org.